What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Mention again, we started the show off with Scott Jennings. His new radio show, The Scott Jennings Show, is going to air weeknights at 8 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. He started that show. It's hard for me to believe that it was like 7 weeks ago when Jennings started that on the Salem Network, and he will be airing tonight. He gave us a nice preview a couple hours ago here. If you want to use the rewind function, you can do that and go back to about 3:18 on 97.1 FM Talk on the Odyssey app. John Anderson's coming up in a little bit. He is Illinois GOP Senate hopeful, probably won't be a senator because they tend to vote Democrat in Illinois. But he was at the meeting last week in the Schaumburg area at the school district where you have a 6'3" biological boy that's going to play on the volleyball team. So he's going to join us. We also have audio cut of the day coming up. John Ziegler back with us, the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. How are you, John? Welcome back. It's been just a little bit. Haven't spoken with you much this summer. Hope all is well.
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing okay as well.
I'm doing better. I will tell you that. I had a rough start to the summer, and I think I kind of let you in on that a little earlier. You just put up a tweet a short time ago that said, so we're going to get into it here. To review, Trump has just taken government ownership of 10% of Intel, declared that he wants a Department of War, supposedly made flag burning illegal with heavy mandatory punishment, claimed that many Americans want him to be a dictator. Now, I did not hear the dictator line. There's often situations where Trump is, I think, misrepresented by the media because he's just joking. So I don't know about that one. I will say this. I've always been somebody who has defended the right, the constitutional right to burn a flag. I think that that's kind of silly, although there seems to be nuance to that with rioting if you really hear the executive order. But you're not too much of a fan of the things that have been going on here the past day or so with this president, which is not unusual for you, John.
Well, for the record, with regard to the issue of dictator, I actually did tweet that some of the media is taking what he said a bit out of context. There was some context. It was in relation to the issue of essentially nationalizing the police in Washington, D.C. However, what Trump said should never come out of the mouth of a United States president, that some people or many people in America would like me to be a dictator, words to that effect, should just never be said, regardless of what the true intent was or what the context is. That's literally in our mission statement. No kings, no dictators, no tyrants. So that's where I have a problem with that. As far as the flag-burning executive order, and that's part of this problem, is that this is an executive order. And I'll be the first to acknowledge that the executive order itself doesn't really do very much, which is not unusual for executive orders, because essentially what it's doing is it's moving the line of the Supreme Court decision on flag burning ever so slightly, in my opinion. What it's doing is it's basically reducing the threshold for criminalizing any riot that might ensue because of a flag burning. But that is still, to me, dangerous, because I'm a big believer, Mark, as you know, in the slippery slope. And while I don't agree with flag burning in 99% of cases, free speech is so important in this country that there needs to be a firewall, literally, in this case, a firewall, where you even allow the burning of your own flag. And that's under free speech. It's protected free speech. The U.S. Supreme Court and Antonin Scalia could not have been more clear about this. And now, by executive order, which is awfully king-like, Trump seems to be diminishing that right. And that's concerning to me. So all these things to me, Mark, here's my last thing I'll say on this, and then you say whatever you want. If they were done by a Democratic president, MAGA world and the MAGA media would be going bananas. And rightfully so.
I think on most of it they would. I don't know on the flag burning, because I think, like, if you pull that out, most people, most Americans, probably even Democrats, think that that should be illegal. I'm with you, though. I've always defended it as a constitutional right. What it seemed like they were saying, and Will Scharf, who's a Missouri guy, was there when he was signing that executive order. It seems like what they're saying is, if you go out into your front yard and you burn a flag, John Ziegler, you're protected constitutionally. But if you do that and it incites a riot, well, then that's not protected. But I would think that we would have statutes that would address inciting a riot outside of, you know, burning the flag anyway.
True. But also, how is it that you should be held responsible for the actions of what people do in response to your free speech?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an absurdity. That's not free speech. I mean, by the way, under that circumstance, you could provoke someone into being put in jail for a year if you didn't like them. Let's say there's a liberal on your street, you don't like them, they're burning the American flag. All you got to do is create a fake riot and they're going to prison for a year.
Yeah,
that's not America. I mean, we're not far from there. And that, if you interpret the executive order word by word, that is very, very plausible.
Well, let me ask you about your opinion, because, you know, you're talking to someone here in a very crime-ridden area. I mentioned this earlier. There was a slate that was thrown up on Fox today that said the top five most dangerous places in the U.S., Memphis, Oakland, St. Louis, right there in the middle, Baltimore, Maryland, Detroit, Michigan. You have Trump moving in the National Guard in D.C. The rule is a little different there because it's the nation's capital. But are you uncomfortable with the National Guard? I think we probably talked when some of this was going on in L.A., and I can't remember what your take on that was.
Well, I do agree with you that legally, constitutionally, D.C. is a different animal. I mean, for a whole host of reasons. So I think Trump has more space there. And, you know, so I'm not as inherently offended, or I don't believe it's as dangerous. Now, is this a precedent for then doing the same thing in other cities? That would be concerning, because what's the threshold? What's the standard? When do you start? When do you stop? And, you know, we saw during COVID when, you know, I mean, California, Gavin Newsom declares himself a king and a constant state of emergency with no end in sight. And it went on for over 2 years. So that is concerning. But I think if it is isolated to D.C., I think this is actually a political winner for Trump, because it's clear the crime is going to go down. He's going to prove that basically Democrats are not in favor of cutting down on crime in their Democrat-run cities. And I think that this is probably a win for him. And I don't have a huge problem with it if it is isolated to D.C. because of the unique legal circumstances there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what my take has been, certainly on that front. I got to ask you about some politics stuff here, national politics. I don't know. I just spent a little bit of time on this last week, but Shane Goldmacher is one of the reporters at the New York Times that kind of does this deep dive into the bleed out that the Democrats are having with partisan affiliation. Now, we're not in a state here in Missouri where you have to declare whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but there are 30 states, I think, that do that. And when this guy at the New York Times and another writing partner went at the numbers, it was pretty staggering how different in Pennsylvania and some of these other key states the numbers were so lopsided toward Republicans. What do you make of that, John Ziegler?
Well, I think I'm one of those that's probably been slow to recognize this political significance of this. There were people talking about this during the 2024 election, and it did turn out, by at least on the presidential level, to be a precursor. For instance, in Pennsylvania, Trump won Pennsylvania, and the registration numbers were trending very heavily in Republican favor there, and I think that's not a coincidence. However, I do think this could lead to a bit of overconfidence among Republicans, specifically when it comes to the 2026 election. Because how do you explain how it is that, and I know people don't like polls anymore, but virtually every party ID poll when it comes to congressional support next year is very much in the Democrats' favor. And I think that, these registration numbers plus the fact that Democratic Party approval is way down nationwide, I think in a deceiving fashion, because I think there's a whole lot of Democrats who are not willing to say they approve of the Democratic Party who will never, ever vote for Republicans. They're pissed off that Democrats aren't fighting Trump hard enough. So those people are still going to vote for Democrats in the next in the midterm election where Trump's name is not going to be on the ballot. So while I think registration numbers are significant, we're still got a long way to go. If the economy's doing well a year from now, then that changes everything. But I think right now Democrats are heavily favored to do very well in the next election, as they traditionally do in any midterm election.
Yeah, they
where
would
they just
be.
Lost.
But if you kind of dig into some of the polling on what we call the 80, 20 issues or the 90-10 issues.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Deporting criminal illegal aliens, the polling is 75-25. Doge-style elimination of waste and fraud, 73-27%. This includes a lot of Democrats who are opposed to these things. Closing the border, discouraging illegal crossing, 67-33. So the list kind of goes on down. And these aren't even, fringe issues. These are issues where every issue, a majority of Democrats also agree with Republicans. Now, how that manifests itself in the midterms when everything a year from now, to your point, could be completely different. The economy, although we had some people predicting we'd be in recession territory even the end of this year, the stock market's back up. Things seem to be going well. Inflation numbers are down. I'll be fascinated to see what happens because, to your point, you know this, John, history would favor not only like a small tilt in the Democrats' direction, but they could gain a fair amount of, seats next year. And that's what this redistricting battle is all about. So you got California, Texas, Missouri is in on some of this as well. Will that make any difference when it comes to the numbers and the math heading into next year?
It could make a significant difference. I'm obviously very much in tune with what's happening here in California. I'm probably Gavin Newsom's number one critic, although I have a lot of competition for that. I think what he's doing regarding redistricting is beyond outrageous. I mean, even by California standards, to spend over $200 million to call a special election for purely partisan means and motives to reverse the state constitution. We've already voted on this, Mark, as you know. We have a very set plan for how we do districting, and to do it purely as an attack on Donald Trump as a way to jumpstart your 2028 presidential campaign. All, by the way, while Los Angeles is not rebuilding from the worst wildfire in its history, and you're just sitting around doing nothing on that front, and you're getting away with it because of a compliant, non-existent news media in this state and a non-existent Republican Party, is absolutely infuriating. But I'm starting to believe that in the long run, and this might be why Republicans are kind of a little bit muted in their their attacks on Newsom, because I think they realize in the long run this is actually going to be good for Republicans. Because if California is successful in doing this, yeah, they'll pick up 4 or 5 seats, tops. Democrats will. But they will lose the moral high ground countrywide. And Republicans in many states, including yours, will be able to do basically whatever they want if they control the state legislature. And in the long run, Republicans will probably pick up more seats than they lose, maybe by a large margin.
So what is Newsom up to right now? There seemed to be that point earlier this year, you know, he's doing some podcasts. He seemed to at least give just a little bit, not unlike Mayor Pete did a few weeks ago with the fairness on the trans issue in sports. But is he kind of taking it in another direction now based on some of the polling out there where he wants to be just as crazy as he's always been?
Well, his strategy is clearly that he's going to be the number one anti-Trump fighter. And it's working for him. Now, it's bizarre that Democrats are gravitating to the guy who they think is their anti-Trump fighter when he's using Trump tactics. I mean, all of them. I mean, not just the way he's tweeting, which he's trying to be funny and imitating the way that Trump tweets, which, by the way, I don't have a big problem with it as long as it's funny. Oftentimes it's not. But he's also using a lot of the same political tactics, including in this redistricting fight. And so it's bizarre to me that Democrats, they hate Trump so much that they're trying to find someone who's as much like him as they can possibly get. Not to mention, and I've always been fascinated by the fact that, you know, Newsom is basically a pseudo-member of the Trump family. I mean, his former wife was the fiance of Donald Trump's favorite son at the time, Donald Trump Jr. Now she's been jettisoned to Greece because Donald Trump Jr. has a new girlfriend. But you know, Newsom and Trump were very all too friendly during COVID. It drove me up a wall.
They were.
It drove me up a wall. And now, you know, they're enemies again. So I think that from a purely political perspective, at least in the short run, what Newsom is doing is going to be effective. I think because Kamala is no longer seen as a legitimate threat. I mean, frankly, I don't think she intended people to take her book announcement as her not running in 2028, but it seems as if people are just deciding she's not running in 2028. And without Kamala there to block Newsom, because I think Kamala blocks Newsom. You can't have two people from California. There's not enough space. Even though they're both celebrities.
I think you're probably right about that, yeah.
And so I think Newsom has seen that Kamala has opened the path, and he's running right through it like a bull, and I think it's going to work. If she doesn't run, let me put it this way. I don't know that he's the favorite to win the nomination, but he is guaranteed to be in the top three. And if you're in the top three, you know, the brakes go your way, you got a hell of a chance.
John Ziegler with us from the Death of Journalism podcast. I haven't spoken to you in a while, so there's a couple media stories I was curious about. What did you think about Colbert being canceled, although not canceled till next year? Thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was obviously a financial decision. I think he's lucky to get as much time to say goodbye as he wanted when the show was losing that much money. I think the proof, you know, it didn't take very long for the facts to really come out here and for us to realize what the truth was. The whole idea that this was a political decision by Paramount was absurd. Have you watched what South Park has done? South Park is a Paramount-owned show, and they have been going after Donald Trump after the sale and the merger harder than they ever have previously, harder than Colbert probably ever has. So this was purely a financial decision, and I think it, in the bigger picture, Mark, I think it's symbolic of the fact that the media landscape is not just changing, it's collapsing. I mean, I'm a firm believer that in a few years, not all three major networks will have even evening newscasts.
I believe that.
It wouldn't surprise me if only one of these or maybe two of these late night shows survives as we currently know them. And, you know, look, I hate the fact that they're all run by liberals, and I hate the fact that all the gatekeepers in the major media have always been liberal, or most of them for many generations. But part of me is going to miss the fact that we have gatekeepers at all. I mean, to me, the only thing that might be worse than having only liberal gatekeepers is having no gatekeepers. And that's where we're headed.
It's kind of sad. No, I'm with you. And it bothers me. And, you know, local journalism is another story altogether. Hey, on the sports journalism front, I don't remember if I saw a tweet about this, but SportsCenter tweets something out that says all the icons, all the moments, all of ESPN, all in one place. And they put this graphic up that has all these players and even some broadcasters. They had 11 WNBA players plus the WNBA broadcast team in the montage, just one soccer player, three MLB players, three NHL. I mean, they just when you think they can't outdo themselves in embarrassment, John, they do on a regular basis, don't they?
And no Tiger Woods.
No Tiger Woods at all. No, the greatest. All of the greatest, right? All of the moments, all the icons.
It was so bad they actually deleted it. I don't know if you know that.
I did. But, I mean, I did know that, yeah. I
mean, it's just unbelievable. It's comical. I mean, it's a parody. They're a parody of themselves. And they're going to get worse because I think one of the most underrated sports news, whatever you want to call it, media stories, not just of this year but of this decade and beyond, is the fact that in just the last couple of weeks we have now learned that the National Football League owns 10% of ESPN and owns a certain percentage, we don't know the exact percentage, of CBS. Now, how in the world
can you possibly cover
by far the largest sports organization in the country when they literally own you? It's just ridiculous.
You cannot make it up. Yeah, you cannot make it up. And then let me close here with golf because I spent some time on this. Did you see how Tiger has been appointed the point person to what they're describing as proposing some radical changes in the world of the PGA Tour? What are your thoughts? Where could that take us?
Well, I've been probably the biggest Tiger Woods fan there ever has been. I used to have a worldwide famous website devoted to him. And so, I mean, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I'm a competitive golfer and still to this day. So, and actually for a very brief time, worked for the PGA Tour a million years ago. First place I ever got fired from PGA Tour Productions. But so I have a little bit of, I think, credibility on this issue. I am concerned with where this is going because the entire focus seems to be on making sure that the most famous players get as little competition as possible. We've seen this with these signature events, and and to me, golf has always been a meritocracy. That's what it's always supposed to be. How famous you are, how rich you are, doesn't matter. It's how well you played or how well you've been playing that gets you into these tournaments. And I just don't think that's Tiger's vision. I think Tiger and the PGA Tour, and it certainly fits with everything else we've seen in sports now, where fame really truly does matter, even when it comes to sports competitions. And I don't think that's a good thing, especially for golf.
How about Tommy Fleetwood finally getting the PGA win and wins, what, like $20 million doing it?
Well, it's fantastic that he did that, but it's a joke that, a guy who has never won a PGA Tour before yesterday is officially crowned as the season champion.
I know, that's
when
weird.
When Scottie Scheffler had one of the greatest years in the history of the sport. I mean, it's a ridiculous system and needs to be fixed.
Yeah, that part of it, we agree. John Ziegler, always great to have you on. I hope all is well. I hope the scorecard is treating you well on the golf course this summer. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Get more at 971talk.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.